The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Well, all right, saints. Let's pray, and then this is a big one, so let's pray the Lord helps me. Our Father, please be with us now. We look at this world, and we know your wisdom is enough, and so we pray that you would give us that wisdom. Raise us up in your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to understand daily matters and difficult matters. We pray for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, saints, we get to turn now to the internet and entertainment. And as I was working on this, I just began to have this feel like I had touched on something bigger than I realized. And, you know, a little bit like the guy accidentally finding oil, you know, at some point you think, whoa, there was more here than I realized. And coming to this topic of entertainment, this is a huge subject. I realize that this is probably the kind of thing people write books about. And we're going to see if we can cover it in about, I don't know, 2 weeks maybe. And so pray that the Lord would help us. There's so much here that affects our daily life, and we are going to be blessed to consider it, but we're also going to be challenged. So I wanted you to think of the way we consider entertainment on something of a spectrum. I do this a lot, right? Because so many things demand not lines in the sand, but understanding how there's a range of possibilities that can be happening. And on the far side over here, I want you to consider a worldly point of view. And I'm trying to encapsulate that point of view by the thesis statement, fill your time with entertainment. Fill your time with entertainment. That's over here on one end of the spectrum. And I want to, across this day and then perhaps next week, I want to contrast then a Christian thesis statement, which would say steward God's time by seeking God's blessings. Steward God's time by seeking God's blessings. So the worldly thesis statement, fill your time with entertainment. The Christian thesis statement, steward God's time by seeking God's blessings. I want to compare those for you. And just as we go, I want you to be examining yourself. I want you to think, where am I landing on this spectrum? You're going to find that different parts will rub you different ways based on just where you're at. So you're not going to find the entire way through, oh, I'm worldly, worldly, worldly. Well, maybe you will, but hopefully not a lot of the time, right? But you're going to find certain points where you say, oh, I do think of things like that, and that worldliness is in me, right? So look for yourself on this spectrum. So consider the first part of this phrase, fill your time versus steward God's time. Let's compare those and see how different of a path they set us on. So take that idea, fill your time. The reason I have that first idea, fill your time, is that so often what we are doing today with entertainment through the internet, fill your time. With fill your time, I want you to see that word fill, that so often in the world there's a total lack of proportion. A total lack of proportion. So what we did is that we've been tracing sort of the advance of the internet, and then that came into smartphones, right? And smartphones are these, what would have been considered basically supercomputers we're carrying around in our pockets. The data connections that we are receiving are growing faster and faster. So what that means is we have more and more entertainment constantly with us. And it's richer and richer entertainment. And it is constantly with us. Smartphones transformed entertainment. And just if you can rewind in your head, I mean, at this point, 15, 20 years, it's no difficulty at all to understand how this is different now, right? You take video games, right? Video games, you start with Pong or something like that. Few people had that. But they had it on their living room on this poor, you know, small little TV, right? Now we go fast forward, right? And there's a million different games that you can download, free and paid, sweeping the nation on high definition little displays on supercomputers inside your pocket, right? It's really advanced, and the smartphone has pulled it through. You consider movies, you consider television. Again, once again, it used to be limited to, say, a living room. Now, it's not the living room with the 8 stations you had that you have to go up to the TV and change the station. I did use a TV like that at one point, so you know. At your house, I think it was. But you go from that to, I mean, just the revolution that is something like Netflix. Right? This giant catalog of entertainment instantly available, whether you're at home or whether you are at the park. Right? Giant advances that have come from smartphones. And so now we live in this time where smartphones are everywhere, so entertainment is everywhere. Entertainment in so many of its forms. And so you think of streaming music, right? I think that was sort of the gateway into this. At first, it was you owned the music, but then it got to the point where you're streaming the music. And there's sort of this conviction that music is always suitable, right? Nothing would not be better without a little bit of music. That's how this all sort of began. Why walk around at work or, I remember as when I was going to college when I had my first MP3 player, there's long walks there. All you're doing is getting from point A to point B. Now I can do that with music. It was nice, right? Entertainment came in. It was portable. You think of, though, NCAA basketball, right? March Madness. Any March Madness fans? A few, right? I mean, it is so all-consuming when it hits, right? Well, it used to require that you had a TV with cable. Now, you can watch them anywhere. You can watch those games anywhere, all across the day, on your phone, on your computer, on your TV, whatever it is. People are going and they're playing video games in the bathroom. Right? You know it's true, okay? And this is an advance of technology. You may not consider it an advance, but it is, right? These things are only possible because of technology. We have books on demand, right? You don't have to go to a library. You don't have to go to a bookstore. You can have any book, any new book, instantly. A lot of old books, for that matter, instantly. Podcasts for any subject, whether you want it on business or family or theology, whatever you want. There's a podcast for it these days. There's the ability, because of our smartphones, to socialize nonstop, right? All day long with your friends, with strangers around the world. You can be doing this all the time. And so this picture of filling our time, that is exactly what we have done. If you can picture a timeline of your day that there used to be cracks in it, internet entertainment is filling all those cracks. And just like if water were to seep into the cracks in the sidewalk, are those cracks going to stay the same size? They're going to get a lot bigger over time, aren't they? And that's what's happening to us as well. We let the entertainment in 5 minutes at a time. It's no wonder over time it grows to be 25 minutes, 65 minutes, so on and so forth. The entertainment fills the cracks and then grows. What's disturbing about all this, have any of you read Brave New World? Brave New World, right? I'm not per se recommending it because it's, frankly, it's kind of a disturbing book. But it's this picture of the future, but it was written, well, when was Brave New World written? Like 50s? 32. Oh, you're so good. 32, right? And it's envisioning this future in which humanity has totally gone secular. They're crushing the human spirit. They're genetically modifying their people. And the way that they're really governing this all is appealing to the basest characteristics of humanity to keep them mollified, to keep them going. Entertainment being one of the biggest that they're relying on in this scheme. Well, in Brave New World, they have this drug, and they named it Soma. Well, the great thing about Soma in the book is that they call them Soma holidays. You check out from reality. You have this drug and you just depart. But when you wake up, no hangover, no physiological effects. And so the upper class people are actually going around with supplies of this drug just in their pocket, and they self-medicate as they desire. That's a smartphone. That is a smartphone. Have you ever wondered why you reach into your pocket to look at your phone? Often there's nothing you need to do. There's no call. There's no message. There's no article you're setting out to read. You are reaching into your pocket to take a hit of the drug that we're all carrying around. It's disturbing how on the author, Aldous Huxley, it's just disturbing how on he was about this. We carry around our portable, accessible drug with no physiological effects, we tell ourselves, and we're using it all the time. And when it comes to our entertainment, you know what words we started using? Binge. Oh, it was such a good show, I binge watched it all. We are likening a good show to the experience of a drunkard who cannot help himself but keep drinking. We use words like addict. If you have a show that you're really hooked on, you say, I am a Ponderosa addict. Bonanza. Ah, I tried. Wasn't Ponderosa in there? Okay, I tried. So, but that's what we do, right? We say, this show is so good, I binge it. This show is so good, I'm like an addict. And we mean that in a good way. Weird, right? Only backs up the hypothesis that we are just taking hits of the socially acceptable drug all day long. Fill your time. Fill a total lack of proportion. Your time. Is it your time? So when you call it your time, well then, how do you measure a good use of your time? Well, you say, don't you? I say what makes for a worthwhile hour, a worthwhile afternoon, a worthwhile life. If it's my time, I will tell you what makes it good. And so, what rises to the top and what has risen to the top today is what's the standard for a good use of time? Pleasure. Or I got to do something I found interesting. It's your pleasures, your interests, your priorities that become the standard if it's your time. And there's no one to answer to in the ultimate sense if that's what it is, if it's your time you are filling. So contrast that now with the beginning of the Christian thesis statement. Steward God's time. Well, from the very get-go, we've done something different. We've recognized God in the equation. We've recognized God, and everything's going to change from that. When we're aware of God and we're walking in a right relation to God, we are aware that we are answering to a different standard. It's not what I think is worthwhile that really matters, is it? It's what God says is worthwhile. It is God's time. Time is a resource that God has given us, just like every other resource we depend on. It is from God. And so, from the very get-go, we find a Christian statement is going to reject this idea that it's your time. A Christian in submission and humility has to say, we do not own time. We are borrowers. We have been lent to, entrusted with something. When we look at it as stewarding God's time, this view is going to recognize our responsibility. One, as God's creation. Two, as God's servants. There's a responsibility we recognize when we view it this way. We are stewarding a resource that has been given to us. He entrusted us with the days, the minutes, the hours. He entrusted us with the time. And now we are using what belongs to someone else. That'll change your life right there. Time is not yours. We are using what has been given to us. So often we have that saying, oh, what are you doing? I'm just killing time. Time is not yours to kill. We'll get to that some more in a minute. We are meant to, as God's creation and God's servants, we are meant to steward our time in a way that would please the one who gave it to us. God's priorities measure a good use of time. Not yours. Not mine. God's priorities are the standard of a good use of time. It's not about you anymore. You imagine a say, my whole family's sick and you're going to help me out and you're going to go to the grocery store for us. And so I give you $100 to go shopping on our behalf. Well, the natural question that's going to come up there, what do you want? What kinds of things do you eat? What kinds of things are you out of? I'm shopping on your behalf with your money. I want to know what you want, right? We would all do that if that were us. It's the same way with our God-given time. As it wasn't your money on the shopping trip, it's not your time in your life. One of my favorite verses, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. When we steward what has been given to us, when something is entrusted to us, we are now meant to live our lives looking at the Lord and saying, how can I be faithful to his standards? How can I be faithful to his goals? When we ask the question, what do I want to do with my time? Don't you see how we've already gotten off the path? What we're meant to ask is, what am I meant to do with the Lord's time, with what he has entrusted me? Scripture tells us that we are meant to be faithful in the way that we use our time. Ephesians 5:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Making the best use of the time. See, Christians, and just a big difference from the world, we are meant to be asking this question, is this what the Lord wants for my time? If you're willing to ask that over and over and over again about how you spend your days, you can expect wonderful results. No one expects perfection of you, but just starting with that starting point, that's going to bless. That is going to bless. If in summary, just for these first two points, fill your time versus steward God's time, you see, we're on two very different paths now, aren't we? Is it your time or is it God's time? Two different paths. Are you going to fill it according to your standards and according to your pleasure, or are you going to steward it according to God's will? We're on two very, very different paths now. Take the second part of those statements, right? We had fill your time by seeking, or fill your time with entertainment, or steward God's time by seeking God's blessings, right? Seeking entertainment versus seeking God's blessings. Let's break down that part now. I want you to think about a worldly view of entertainment. And if I'm off base here, well, tell me later, but I think you're going to notice that this is like how things are going. The first place you start with is just the conviction in the world that entertainment is good. That's almost like a truism, right? Of course, entertainment's good. We all want to be entertained. That's currency out in the world. You can bank on that out in the world. Moreover, entertainment is good, and boredom. Oh, boredom is bad. Boredom, what a waste of time. Wouldn't it be terrible to be sitting there and have nothing to do? Wouldn't it be terrible to have nothing to read, to have nothing to watch, to have nothing to play? Wouldn't it be terrible if you sat there in silence and just had to think? Right? I hope I'm not getting way off base on you already. In the world's estimation, we want to be as entertained as possible. And why does the world pursue internet entertainment? Well, we said on the one hand, they'll say things like, or we as a part of that, to kill time. We'll say to pass time. Why do we do entertainment? To forget the world. You ever done that? Don't even want to think about what's going on right now. Turn on the TV. Is bad, huh? We do it to forget. We do it to check out. Here's another word that we've picked up. Vegging. Right? I didn't do the etymology on this, but that sounds like vegetative state to me. Right? Like, isn't that what we're saying? Oh, man, I just went home and vegged. Right? No one in the hospital thinks that's cool. right? But we use it as a goal. Oh man, I just want to go home and veg in front of the TV. Why does the world use entertainment? I mean, you know, often all we're doing is just distracting ourselves. We don't need a goal. We don't have a goal. I just want to be distracted right now. Pull out the soma and take a hit. In the world, entertainment starts taking on this one-size-fits-all solution. What do I mean by that? Are you sad? You could use some entertainment. Oh, are you happy? How about some entertainment? It's the same solution for both cases. Are you tired right now? How about some entertainment? Oh, you've got energy right now? I've got some great entertainment for you. Right? Are you stressed? Are you relaxed? How about some entertainment? Do you want to spend some quality time with a loved one? How about some entertainment? Are you lonely? Oh, how about some entertainment? We use entertainment for it all. No matter the situation, add a little entertainment. That would be nice. That would be good. Watch a movie. Play a game. Bring some entertainment into the mix. One of the things I want you to see from this is not that entertainment is bad, but that we are misusing entertainment. We are misusing entertainment. It's not hard to imagine how. So are you sad? Are you heartbreakingly sad? A movie's probably not going to deal with that. You know what probably be way better? Is praying. Praying. Sometimes, I just need some rest. I'm going to watch a movie. You ever done that? You know what's better? A lot of the time, just going to sleep. Right? So I know in our house, you get the kids down, and that blessed silence steals over the house, right? It's silence better than any empty nester knows, right? Because that agitation just settles down, and you're thinking, oh, we should, like, watch a movie now. You know what I more often need than a movie? To go to sleep. Say it's during the day, and you're wanting some refreshment. You know what's probably better than pulling out your phone? Go for a walk. Right? We're just overusing entertainment. It can't keep up with all these things. Not to mention, so take cell phones. I mean, there are physiological disruptions that are happening to you and to your brain by pulling out that phone. The very means you are using is inhibiting the goal that you claim you're going for, whether it's rest or refreshment or whatever. Right? That tool is actually bad at what you're trying to use it for. You want to have quality time with someone? What about a conversation? Right? I mean, isn't that funny? Sometimes we get together so that we can sit silently next to each other and watch a movie. Right? Like, that's actually not, like, we didn't do much there. Sometimes what you really need, I'm not against movies. Sometimes what you really need, sit down and talk. Talk about the day. Talk about your heart. Talk about your walk. Talk about your fears. Talk. You'll find the relationship incredibly much more strengthened by a conversation than you will by a movie. We expect way too much from entertainment. Entertainment cannot keep up with all we're trying to do with it. And what fruit is being produced from internet entertainment? Well, we're isolating from each other at a really worrisome clip. We're isolating, right? When I play video games, I cut off everyone that's actually physically near me. And the gamer says, but I play with people online. Do you know who they are? What do you talk about with those people? I know what you talk about. They got in. Kill them. Right? That's what you say in games, right? There's like very little going on about like edification and feelings and faith and whatever, right? Just because we're playing with people, it's not because we're having good relationships with them. We're isolating. Music, right? The moment I started walking around UNR's campus with headphones on, you know what I was saying? Don't bother me. nicely said, I don't have time for you. I'm walking to a beat here, right? You put on those headphones, that is not an invitation for anyone to talk to you. And if you put on headphones and someone comes up and tries to get your attention, how many people here are irritated? Right? Yeah, honest three people, right? You know you're, like, if you put those on and someone wants to come and bug you, they have, like, done an extra bit of irritation there, right? The fruit of internet entertainment, we're growing incredibly self-focused. And that's because so much of the day we are asking ourselves, how can I pleasure myself? How can I entertain myself? How can I pass time in a way that I like? How can I have fun? We're focusing on ourselves. More and more emphasis on just what pleases us. What kind of fruit is coming from entertainment? Let's all be honest, just an incredible waste of time. Anyone ever wasted time online? Oh, there's so many liars in here. Man, we do it all the time, right? Have you ever been sitting there and you're like, I've got like one good hour here. Man, I've got all the stuff I need to do. And then next thing you know, you look up from your phone and it's been like you've passed 30 minutes of the time doing whatever you just did. Right? Time was scarce. You had big plans for it. Oops, I entertained myself for the last half hour. Right? We've all done it. You know, March Madness, I knew there were some stats, so I looked it up. Apparently, March Madness is credited with a $1.9 billion loss in the U.S. economy from loss of productivity among hourly workers. Right? Enormous waste of time. If you're a business owner, that starts sounding pretty important, right? What else does entertainment do? I mean, entertainment has this way of twisting other things. If I set out to be entertained, I can do something that looks okay, but I'm doing it with wrong motives, with a wrong heart, right? So, I mean, take for example, I've talked about the news. We talked about that at the very start. News at its best is us saying, I need to be responsible, I need to be a good citizen, I need to be wise, so I seek out information that is going to help me do that, right? That's news at basically its best. If I read the news to be entertained, do you see how different that is? So no longer do I have any sense of responsibility. I'm not trying to be a good citizen. I'm not trying to be wise. The truth is, I think it's entertaining when politicians yell at each other, when celebrities have mishaps, when severe weather hits, when wars happen. I'm doing it to entertain myself. I have twisted something that could have been good because I wanted to make it about me having fun. Really, we just want to mind other people's business. Take socializing. Socializing merely for my entertainment. What if we have a friendship, you and I, and the only reason I'm in the friendship is for my fun? Now, what's missing there? Like, loving my neighbor, how about? Right? A relationship, we all know. Relationships are not about having fun. Hopefully there's some fun in there. But relationships are about love, about service. Have you ever gone through a hard time with someone, whether it's your life or their life? Was that fun? No. That's not what a relationship's about. But if I got into that relationship for my fun, and you're just being a drag? God, sorry, this isn't real fun for me. I'm not going to do this anymore, right? I'm going to go find something else to entertain myself. Don't you see then how that entertainment heart can twist something even as basic as a relationship, as a friendship, because you're no longer in it for what's meant to be done. Seeking to fill your time with entertainment, I want you to take this away. It just doesn't do you much good. You're expecting way too much of entertainment. It does not do you much good, and in many cases, it's doing you harm. In contrast, go back to that Christian thesis statement, a view of instead of seeking entertainment, seeking God's blessings. Blessing is bigger than entertainment. That's what I want you to see here. Blessing is bigger than entertainment. entertainment is not left out of that equation. I'm not saying entertainment's bad. I'm going to keep saying that because I'm concerned that could come across. Entertainment is not bad, but it's one small little blessing compared to blessings in general. Blessing is bigger than entertainment. Start with a right view of humanity. A right view of humanity is going to say that we, you, me, we function best according to design. Right? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us. He designed us down to the way we tick. We function best according to our design. And we are designed to need much more than entertainment. When you're considering entertainment, widen your gaze and ask yourself a bigger question. What kinds of things do we need? What kinds of things do we need? So, consider first spiritual. We genuinely need the Lord. First and foremost, we need nearness with Him. We need communion with Him. We need obedience to Him. We need all those things spiritually. Consider yourself physically. The Lord made you physical. He could have made us non-physical. He very purposely made us physical. You have physical needs. There are needs according to your health. Needs like rest. Needs like exercise. Physical needs. There are emotional. There are social needs, right? In some sense, we have a need for relationships. We have a need one for the other. We have a need for community. A right view of humanity is going to say, I recognize all these needs. And so when I look at my time and how I prioritize my time, my priorities, or my time is going to flow out of my priorities. I have spiritual priorities, physical priorities, social priorities, emotional priorities. All these things are actually competing for my time. So entertainment has a lot of competition when it comes to your time. We also need a right view of God. See, you go into something like this, the internet and entertainment from a biblical perspective, and you could get the impression that God wants to strip away everything that is good. God sitting there saying, stop smiling, stop having fun, no, 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 right? Just like some sour parent. That's how he gets viewed. Well, I take you to another one of my favorite verses, Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's our God. Not some sour parent. God offers fullness of joy. I've said this to you before, but like no one tries to offer that in the world. It's just too obviously something we cannot deliver. God alone can dare to say, I offer you fullness of joy. He offers us pleasures forevermore. You got to soak that in. That's not something to brush over. A God who offers fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. You see, these are not just nice sounding words. We could dress it up like that and say, this is just a pretty way to talk about God, but we don't really mean it. No, this is the God we believe in. The God of fullness of joy. And he doesn't get credit for it far too often. This is practically worth the whole talk we're about to have. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. We look at the other way around, right? I want more than God's willing to give me? Nope. God wants to give you more than you're willing to have. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. You want happiness, and he says, I'll raise you one. I offer you fullness of joy. You want an entertainment binge? God says, I'll give you pleasures forevermore. God offers so much more than we give him credit for. How do the scriptures describe the Lord? 1 Timothy 6:17. The context is counsel to those who are rich in this world. But hear this part where Paul says, it is God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He provides us with everything to enjoy. In other words, God is the source of enjoyment. Give him his due. We didn't invent enjoyment. He is the source of enjoyment. You'll find a good 8-10 verses in Ecclesiastes. I just picked a handful of them because Ecclesiastes majors on this theme. 5:19. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God. God's gift to you to enjoy things in this world. Chapter 8, verse 15. And I commend joy. I just love that. And I commend joy. For man has nothing better under the sun but to eat and drink and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toil through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun. 9:7. Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. 9:9. Yesterday we read this. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Does that sound like a God who doesn't want you to be happy? Does that sound like a dour, sour, boring God? It doesn't. God is the God of blessing. God is the God of joy. God is the God of pleasures. And the Lord looks to his people and he says, enjoy my blessings. Yes, this world has evil running rampant, but I have still left you pleasures. I have still left you joys. They are everywhere for you to find. Enjoy them. The killjoy God is not the God of the Bible. He is not the God of the Bible. And so if you have a right view of God, and if you have a right view of humanity, then you can look at this whole entertainment discussion and realize that what you are meant to do is to seek God's blessings, not merely entertainment. Seek God's blessings, not merely entertainment. You see, we are asking a bigger question on a day-to-day basis. We are asking a bigger question instead of asking, how do I want to be entertained? We are asking, what do I really need? What do I really need? And often what you need most in the sense of blessing, in the sense of joy, in the sense of wholeness, what you need most often has very little to do with being entertained. Some of my most joyful times, they weren't fun. I think of my kids. Right, parents? Like, aren't kids the one, like, you can actually have the simultaneous feeling of, this is amazing, and I want to pull my hair out. Right? It's not that it's fun all the time, but there's joy in it. There's joy in it. I want you to think of entertainment almost like a bag of chips. Any potato chips lovers? Few of you? There are too many carbohydrates, but it doesn't mean you don't love them, right? Entertainment is like a bag of chips. It's nice. It's enjoyable. But it does not deliver a whole lot. Well, a whole lot than you wanted. It delivers, don't get me wrong. What you actually needed, if you ever sat down, you're super hungry. Dinner's not made, but there's a bag of chips there. And the chips taste extra good if you're hungry, right? And you tell yourself as you eat them, I'm hungry. These are actually feeding my hunger right now. These are good right now, right? Well, once you get through half that bag of chips, you realize, no, I didn't actually need chips. I needed dinner. That's like entertainment. It can't deliver on what we try to get out of it. And so often what you need is something so much bigger, so much deeper, so much more substantial than entertainment. And so you're going to go and you're going to ask questions like, what do I need? Before you turn on your phone, before you open Netflix, before you do whatever, what do I need right now? Am I meeting the needs that I'm designed to have? Is this going to help with what I really need? Ask yourself, what does God want to give me right now? So take a day where you're stressed, you're anxious, right? We've all been there. And so often we've been taught to self-medicate with Netflix, with whatever, sitting in front of the TV, right? Just ask yourself, as you're wrestling with the anxiety, and you even know, the reason I want to do this right now is because I'm anxious, because I'm stressed. Just pause. What does God want to give me right now? You know what God wants to give an anxious person? Peace. You know what an anxious person needs most? Peace. What I tend to find is if I do that self-medicating thing, at best, I can check out for 90 minutes and not think about what's bothering me. But you turn off the TV and your brain goes back to normal mode and it says, and remember the thing you're stressed about? Nothing happened. Nothing happened to the problem. Nothing happened to the trial. Nothing happened to the challenge. The movie, the game, the whatever, wasn't able to handle that. In contrast, there's times when I can say I'm stressed, I'm burdened right now, and I handle it the right way, and I go to the Lord with it. And I go to Him in prayer, I think about what the Word gives me in this time, and I find my burdens lifted. I don't need 90 minutes often. Sometimes a good 10 minutes with the Lord with your problems, with the Word shining its light on you, casting your cares on the Lord because He cares for you, right? Just does wonders to lift your spirits, right? To reassert to yourself, God remains in control no matter what this trial is. That's where the blessing is. What does God want to give you in that case? He wants to give you peace. Does Netflix ever give you peace? It doesn't give me peace. Ask yourself questions like this. Is there something better for you than that entertainment? Is there something better for you in that entertainment? So times when I'm doing well, like where I'm handling life well, where I feel healthy, I think of that as sort of a time of feeling like I'm full. Right? I'm not running on fumes. I'm full. I'm full with the grace of the Lord. I'm full with His perspective. He's helping me to walk in holiness, with conviction, with purpose, right? All these important things. I feel full. What fills you up? Entertainment doesn't. Right? The things that make me feel most whole in life are actually usually not entertaining. I give you an example, all of us here today. By nature, I'm not actually that social of a person. But when I'm together with you all, it helps me to feel whole. When we come together and we sing to the Lord, I'm already excited for worship this morning because that first song, that was just glorious. There's a wholeness that I have here. Is it entertaining to be here? I mean, sometimes. But mainly not. Right? Tune in for my sermon this afternoon and ask if you're still entertained. Micah has not been an entertaining book. But it's better than being entertained, I find. Let's say I skipped church and I just went to the movies. And let's say I watched movies for all the time I would have been here. Say I watch two straight movies, right? I would not walk out of there feeling whole. I spend time with the saints, receiving the word, praising the Lord, praying. I feel whole. You know, you can't talk on the subject without C.S. Lewis's famous quote. He said, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. That is so often us. We are too easily satisfied, so we grab the low-hanging fruit. We grab that movie. We grab that game. We grab that book. We grab that activity. And it doesn't do that much for us, but that was the easy one to reach. But if we would be willing to reach up a little higher, to find the bigger blessings, we would come out of it with a sense of blessing, a sense of wholeness that would dwarf whatever that entertainment did for us. As you're looking at your entertainment, as you're asking these questions, what do I need? As you're asking questions, what does God want to give me? I just want to brace you for it that I think this is going to be difficult for us. Because in a real way, we are entertainment addicts. You know, you picture a number of you eat really healthy now. That was hard for you to do at first. But eventually you got to a point where your body adjusted and now it would be hard for you to go back. That's very similar with us. We have to wean ourselves off of the drugs that we've been taking every day. And we will not think that is pleasant. But we're pursuing something better. We're pursuing something more whole. And you will be blessed when you do this. You will think it's worth it when you do this. God wants you to have more than entertainment. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have joy pervading your life. And that's something we've missed out on sometimes too. For example, he talks about having joy in your work, right? Often we've taken our work and said, this is my 8 hours of affliction. There's no joy there. There's no satisfaction there. So we get done with that affliction, with that destitution, and it's no wonder we're like, oh, I need a hit. But God actually wants you to be able to look at that and say, there's joy to be found in your work. There's joy to be found in your food. There's joy to be found in your relationships. God wants you to have joy. And if you had this joy, this pervasive joy, you wouldn't be putting so much weight on entertainment. So quickly, some standards for evaluating entertainment. I've already given you a number of the basic questions I want you asking, but here's a few more. When you're considering your entertainment, think of just a simple question. Are my priorities balanced? Are my priorities balanced? So, the Giants game, right? How long does a baseball game go? 2.5 hours? Ariel answered. Thank you, Ariel. All right. So, 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours after you've tended to your priorities is very different than 2.5 hours instead of your priorities. Right? So, let's say you're exhausted, right? You got 3 hours of sleep the night before. You're just exhausted. You know what you shouldn't do is stay up for 2.5 extra hours and watch the game. You should probably just go to sleep. Ooh, tension in the room. Let's say there's struggles in your marriage. You've had a conflict and it's not resolved. You know what it's not time for? The baseball game. It's time to talk to your spouse. to not let the sun go down on your anger. Say you've been neglecting the Lord. You've been skipping the word. You don't pray. You know you need more than 2.5 hours in front of the TV? You need some time with the Lord. But when you flip them, when you have your priorities right, on a given day, let's say you worked hard, you worked faithfully, your relationships are in good order, both with the Lord and with others. Your health is good, right? You can partake of that game with a joyful and grateful heart. And that's how you're meant to receive entertainment. Not as something that you're stealing from your priorities in order to do, but as an overflow of the blessings of your life. Now take it another way. Say you ignore all the things I'm saying. You're sleepy, your relationship's all messed up, and whatever, but you watch the game. Are you going to finish that game and think, man, I made the right choices? No, you're going to be still suffering from the sleep deprivation, from the relationship hardships, from whatever else is going on. None of those went away. But you take it the other way. Say you missed the game, but everything is whole in your life. You will count that blessing and that peace so sweet and so whole. And you will not miss the game that you didn't get to see. We need to ask, are our priorities balanced? The Lord wants you to have joy. The Lord also wants you to tend to your responsibilities and your priorities. Are my priorities balanced? Consider the famous Philippians 4:8 for another standard for your entertainment. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Take that list. And some of you have it in the NAS, and I know like half the words are different. Take your list. Run your entertainment through it. What you should be able to say is, look, it registers right there. Or if you're sort of on the fence, is this worthwhile, that kind of thing, run it through. Does this encourage truth? Does this encourage falsehood? Right? Is this honorable? Right? Is it worthy? Is it respectable? That kind of idea. Is it just? You know, corresponding to fairness, to equity. Here's a big one. Is it pure? Is it pure? Now, this is something that's hard these days because so much of entertainment is not pure, by definition. In order for it to be marketable, it has to be impure. Could you even come close to describing it as holy? Right. Here's a wonderful one. Is it lovely? That's a word that I'm just so grateful for because the world hasn't corrupted it yet. They'll get there. But lovely. If you describe a person or an experience or a book as lovely, that's just wonderful, right? It's different. It's not fun, exciting, witty, humorous, attractive, right? All those words, they're just worldly. They don't mean a lot. Lovely. How about having entertainment that is a source of loveliness, a source of delight, a pleasure to the heart? Is it commendable? Right? Would you be able to would people look at it and say, that's praiseworthy. That's good. Glad you're doing it. Is it excellent, right? Corresponding to an excellence in character, a rarity almost. What I want you to do as you use these standards is not to look at them like they are the restrictions keeping you from your entertainment. I want you to view them like the path on your way to blessing. That's how the Lord wants us to look at it. You remember the garden, right? You can have all these trees, just not this one. Was that the Lord trying to take away something really good from Adam and Eve? That was the way of blessing. 99% yours. 1% no. And that's your recipe for blessing. He wanted to bless. God wanted to bless, not take away. But that's where the devil got in, right? Oh, he's keeping you from something. You're meant to have this. Don't we do that with the entertainment, right? God, I've got like 99 channels here. You're saying I can't watch any of them? Right? We feel like he's taking from us. And the Lord wants us to see that he's trying to bless us. Take Philippians 4:8 as a path to blessing. Psalm 119:37. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Ask that question of what entertains you. Ask it the question of what kind of worth does this have? What kind of value does this have? When, in that psalm, the idea of worthless, there's this idea of ineffectiveness and falseness. So there's deceit in this. Like they didn't live up to the expectations. And that's what we've been talking about, right? Things that don't live up to expectations. You want rest, it doesn't give you rest. You want peace, it doesn't give you peace, right? Worthless. This idea of not delivering. Ask yourself, what am I seeking in this entertainment? Again, we're asking that question of why. That's one of the core things that we've done over this entire time together. Why? We ask the question of why. Why am I seeking this entertainment? And you'll have some answer. I'm doing this for rest. I'm doing this to feel better. I'm doing this whatever, right? Once you have that identified, ask yourself, okay, so will watching this do that? Just ask yourself, will it accomplish what I'm seeking out of it? If you know from the start that it's not going to deliver on what you're seeking from it, well, you've kind of got that one figured out, right? And then consider what God can give you. That's the second half of the verse, right? Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and then give me life in your ways. What can the Lord give me in contrast? Feed your heart on what's good and full. What makes you whole? What makes you spiritually strong? Feed it the good things. And like I was saying, it's going to feel like an addict coming off of a drug. But the Lord wants to bless you if you will just have it. As you pursue these things, you are going to find not that you have less, but that you're getting more. You are not going to find that you resent the trade of entertainment and titillation and distraction for blessing and wholeness and joy. By the way, with no guilt. Sometimes so many forms of entertainment have bound up in them guilt. There's no guilt in the Lord. There's just peace. There's just satisfaction. I'm not going to try and make it sound like it's going to be easy to navigate this world. I don't expect it to be. I don't think you should expect it to be. These standards are not going to make it easy to be entertained in the world. But you will never regret the exchange. You will never regret the trade. Friends, steward God's time by seeking God's blessings. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fullness we have in you. We praise you, our God of joy and pleasures forevermore. Lord, how good you are. And we confess we hardly can tell sometimes. We can hardly see how good you are. We're so backwards sometimes. We look at you like an obligation when you're the source of all joy. Lord, would you turn us? Would you turn us so that we see you more truly? So that we admire you? So that we love you? So that we are hungry for you? Lord, we pray that you would help us to see when things are not worth our time. We pray that you would help us to see when things cannot deliver. And we pray every realization would drive us closer to you. Lord, we want more of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.